Please assemble. We're going to have a few announcement kinds of things to start. I want to remind people that if you do leave before the formal close of the plenary, please formally check out with the registration table, because otherwise we can run into quorum issues. Are there any announcements from the host committee that need to be made at this time? Okay, as facilitator, I've received one request for a brief comment and presentation, and then we're going to be followed by Jim and Barry to present whatever proposal they have within a 10-minute process timeline, and then we'll resume on the platform issues. That's my recollection of where we were on the agenda. So at this time, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Gloria.
Thanks, Warner. This is a social thing, I guess, not a political thing. I just heard yesterday that Nancy Broyles died a few months ago. Oh, other people didn't know either. Okay, good. I'm glad to have this opportunity to speak about Nancy for just a minute. She did so much good work for the party. She attended plenaries for years, very dedicated, a strong supporter financially. She began the Petra Kelly Fund that assists people with travel expenses and largely supported it herself for years. And she was just a really nice person, and I wanted to just recall her to everyone and to let you know that she wasn't with us anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria.
Hi. After the budget discussion yesterday, I realized that we hadn't really been very specific about how we were going to do a six-month budget instead of a annual budget. So I went home and actually put into a budget what I think we passed. I'm going to pass it out. And if anybody thinks that we did something radically different, please come and see me, okay? Because otherwise this is going to become the official six-month budget of the Green Party of California. Just one tier.
James Ogle here, Monterey County. I want to thank everybody. Thank you very much for allowing me to participate at everything. I'm going to be leaving now, but I'm a member of the American Independent Party, and I just want to tell everyone that forget about everything you understand about politics, and just what I wanted to talk about was, real briefly, was I'm trying to help all parties work together, including the American Independent Party, and they're for this. They want to. They want solar energy. They're against nuclear power. They want all parties to be represented within government and within the American Independent Party, based on pure proportional representation.
And people should see you if they want to talk about it.
And one last thing, we want to elect Roseanne Barr as the national chairman of the American Independent Party and the presidential candidate of not just the American Independent Party, but the Independence American Party, all independents, all parties, all voters, and non-voters. So if you'd like to... She is with the Green Tea Party, and she's nominated quite a few names with the Roseanne Arcus Party, the Constitutional Monarchist, and finally, the information not available. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim and Barry, would you come up? We have
Barry.
Is it on now? Okay. So, timekeeper, this is a 10-minute item. So, Jim and Barry, you need to present quickly and succinctly to see if we can...
Hi.
Barry Hermanson, San Francisco County. We had three individuals that, of the folks who were being considered, who had put forth their names to yeah, so why don't I look it up? Yep.
Great. Dave Heller, Kate, is it Tanaka? I was here yesterday, but she came after the general question and answer, so we didn't have an opportunity to have an exchange with her. And then Jim, and what is Jim's last name? Garrity. He was here?
Yeah.
Okay. All I was going to suggest, just as a way to move forward on this, because we do need people on our coordinating committee, and I will make every effort to be in touch with all of those folks. I know that, you know, for instance, I know Dave. He does want to serve. And so just to confirm that, yes, you do want your name to be on the ballot, and so I will do that this week. To make sure that indeed they do want to have their name on the ballot, and we will move forward with all of these names. So only if somebody tells me I want to withdraw, will we proceed that way. Okay, much like Rich Stone did, which was, I mean, that was a very, very thoughtful thing, Rich. Thank you for putting your name forward initially, you know, hopefully we can get you plugged in on a state level in working on labor issues. So, okay, does that seem like a fair way just to move forward? So we're going to move forward with all the names unless the people tell me explicitly that they wish to have their name withdrawn.
All right. So thank you. That's a report, not a proposal. It sounds like the issues have been resolved.
I think it's been resolved
in that fashion. And the next item would be a report on the next meeting place, according to this agenda. Schedule next meeting. Is the next thing on the agenda? Is someone presenting from the CC on that? Or is this a lost agenda item?
Well, the facilitators can handle it. All we're doing is, you know, advertising. We need a host for the next plenary. And
perhaps establish a preferential time frame.
Yeah. What are we looking at for time frame for our next meeting? Well, yeah, we tentatively have a gathering. Well, I guess, I mean, it's not. Well, I guess there's possibly going to be some elections in November locally. We're looking in the fall, in October.
September.
Late September, October time frame. And we need a host, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to find hosts. And, you know, I'll point out this General Assembly where there have been some complaints about the facility. Well, we conned Alameda into playing host at the very last minute, and they scrambled around and did, you know, what they could get and all of that stuff, and I'm very appreciative of it. But that just goes to show, yes. But it just goes to show the difficulty we've had in finding hosts. So we really need some people to step up here. We need some counties to, you know, contribute yourself to the Green Party and host one of these events. You know, I mean, the state party helps out all we can in getting you squared away and how to proceed. And, we just did one last year.
So do you want it in Northern or Central
California? Well, we're due for a Southern. Southern or Central. I don't know if we want to consider the gathering in part of our North-South state meeting thing, because it's, you know, it's non-voting, it's no delegates. So I would say we're due for a South or Central General Assembly.
Oh, no, there is no staff.
Of course.
All unless there's any, there's been an announcement that we need a site for the next plenary, and sites, as I know, will to some extent determine dates. So the announcement has been made. Everybody's put on notice.
Well, it wasn't. I wanted to specifically ask, is there anyone sitting here who is so moved that you'll say, okay, let me go back to my county and check. I think we might be able to do it.
That's why I have a clarifying question.
Okay.
Well, no, because there's no proposal.
I have to ask about dates if you're going to solicit.
Well, we said late September or October time frame. That's the date.
Okay, we could even go a little later if need be, could we not?
Possibly, but if anybody has a local election, it's going to run into problems. In November local election, you're going to run into problems getting those people.
I understand. Okay, so we could go later this year than normal. I'm thinking of some of the locals.
Look, as facilitator, I'm going to step up now, and this is really discussion that does not have to take place in agenda time. And we do have items on the agenda that need to be moved forward.
I could answer the question you asked.
Well, I would like to know. Are you?
Well, I was going to suggest this, that there's been a lot of interest in the Long Beach trains more than we've seen recently. They have an airport in Long Beach that has really good cut rates. So we have a county meeting in a couple of weeks, and both trains that are county council from Long Beach, I'm going to ask them if they would be interested.
Great. It's a great local building exercise.
Okay, so the... Barry, is this really necessary to do now?
Actually, no.
Thank you. Yeah. So Shane Cuey, please come back up to the table. And the people who were in the stack at the time that we had discussion going on regarding the proposed tax platform, please reconstitute in the order that you were in the stack previously.
You were first here. Here's what we had.
Okay, well, I'm going to...
Okay, before I take any more questions, I would like to go through the revisions, projected revisions that the platform committee essentially is going to suggest to all of us, and maybe some of those suggestions will take care of some of the questions in the stack. So I just want to go over again what we decided to do. So in background and purpose, first sentence, change, this is not so in current California system, to California now has an inherently unfair tax system. That's the first new change. Of course, the 2010 to 2011 is correct, except that in the final version, we are going to put in bar graphs rather than just numbers. If that's okay with everyone.
Could you repeat that?
We'll put in a control chart, bar graphs, rather than...
Sit down.
Well, that's why I'm doing this. Thank you. Okay. The next... everyone okay so far? So number three, we've decided to have the following wording. All income, earned and unearned, should be taxed equally in a graded progressive manner. And that's it. Graduated, I should say, progressive manner. Number three. On page 18 of number three. Instead of a tax cut on earned incomes and a higher graduated tax on unearned incomes, like so-and-so, that I was going to suggest, strike all of that, and instead, all income, earned and unearned, should be taxed equally in a graduated, progressive manner. as a generalized thing. Okay, any questions on that? Number five. Oh, number four is deleted.
Oh, really?
Yes. Number four is deleted. It's research and development.
No.
Number five. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what we're recommending from that meeting. Now, number five, adjustment of industrial and commercial property taxes periodically, at least every 10 years. Okay? For the first sentence. To replace.
Yeah.
Okay? And we'll, and the third last line of number five, we'll retain loan in parentheses to denote the function of the float fund.
Right there. Okay.
Just to reiterate so that you know what's kept. Then the 5B, insert, repeal the parts of Proposition 13 that require 2/3 vote for any tax increase at the state level and replaced with a majority vote, was retained. Number six, we're going to replace corporate lobbyists and real donation taxes with a graduated excise tax on fees paid to registered lobbyists. That's as a clearer statement. A graduated excise tax on fees paid to registered lobbyists. Paid to. Not received. No, not yet. This is, I'm saying what the... In a moment. Then number nine. We're going to delete landlord's and just state elimination of tax subsidies to real estate speculators. With a nod to Sandra. I'm not putting that in the platform, but I mean... And we're going to retain in the last sentence exempted rather than accepted. Number 10 still retains California has no oil extraction tax in parentheses. And number 11 still retains to date replaced by up to the present. In other words, no changes in both of those from what I presented before. So those are the projected changes that we got from our platform committee meeting.
Okay, so continuing statement of affirmations and concerns from the staff, please.
Patricia Gallimore, Tulare County. Oops.
I just need to clarify that we're only that were in the line previous to the
right.
Patricia Gallimore, Tulare County. I appreciate all the work that you've done, and on number five, it's a good resolution that you came up with, but I think you need to, I would like to see included, if I can find my place again, that you're talking about commercial and industrial taxes must
property
every 10
tax.
Years. Right,
no,
property taxes. I think that you should include also must be assessed on every sale. So that they can't get around. Is it included?
It's the law. It's the law, but it's not enforced.
But it's not enforced.
They don't enforce it, including the lady over at this $350 million that's lost because they don't enforce it.
Yeah, and it must be assessed on every sale. And I'm, you know, hammered in. Thank you.
Okay, so let me just reiterate that. Is to see if this adjustment of industrial and commercial property taxes periodically at least every 10 years, including at sales.
All sales.
At all sales.
They don't sell. They never sell.
transfer. Yeah, they transfer from one company to another.
Well, I have transfer stock.
Or they transfer the sale of the building, they transfer the permit. And what they don't reassess the property. And what happens is they get to have the old tax rate. Even though the property value has maybe have gone up, they get to keep the old tax rate. And that's one of the big issues that we have.
Okay.
Okay.
So how
is that your concern you're stating?
Well, no, my concern is...
wait a minute.
Okay.
Can you... How would you work that?
No,
you're the one who came up
with it. I'm sorry. I agree with the...
All transfers, whether internal or external. Yeah, all transfers, whether internal or external.
Would reevaluating the commercial property take care of that problem?
No, see what happens is, let's say you own a building.
Maybe the thing is that we're not looking at who owns it, but rather that the property itself is... reevaluate.
That's right.
And
reassess.
Happens to have control over it.
That's right.
That
yes.
Thank you. Good work.
That'll do it.
Okay, so what I have here is adjustment of industrial and commercial property taxes periodically, at least every 10 years, and also during all sales and transfers. All sales and transfers.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you if you guys also had eliminate capital gains break for exchanges of commercial property.
Where are you?
When you guys were talking about...
No. Which number?
Five.
Okay. But where are you talking about capital gains? I don't see capital gains.
Isn't it in one of those...
The only place that you...
Yeah, right, it was going into three.
Okay.
But number three is gone.
Yeah, that's why I was concerned about that. Because it would make...
No, it comes under earned and unearned income.
That's under capital gains?
Yeah.
Okay.
If that's included, that's everything.
All right, and...
That's included. Number three. Is what he's referring to, not number five. But we've already included that in the new wording.
All income.
Or whether it's earned or unearned. And whichever way
okay.
You cut it. All
right. And the only other one is to eliminate the ability to shelter income in offshore tax havens.
Where would you add that?
I was hoping it would be under profits or business.
But where? Which number?
Nine? It's nine.
Number nine?
Is it nine? But there's one in there. It talks about...
To real estate speculators, I don't think so. Then developmental projects? Or?
Yes. Maybe somewhere under there. Because what they do is, what businesses do is, they a lot of businesses in states in California, in order to not to pay the high income tax rate in California, they would shore it off in other countries. Like the yacht tax was a good example. People would buy things from other countries, and then they wouldn't have to pay the sales tax.
Okay. I think you mean number 10, right?
Yes, you're probably right. It costs $12.5 million at least a year for not to pay taxes.
Well, wait a minute. I want wording, if possible.
Okay.
So just repeat it again.
Eliminate sales offshore to avoid paying taxes. Something like that. What do you want to do?
This is 11. As it reads, is that the one?
No.
No, nine.
No, 10.
No, it's 10 right here. Elimination right here. Sorry, it's use of all taxes for resources and minerals, including sales of products offshore to make sure they pay tax, and that's what's happening. People would buy a yacht, and then they would pay $1 million, $2 million, and then they would buy it in Guadalajara, or they'd buy it in Tijuana, and they wouldn't have to pay tax.
So let me try this on you then. Elimination of offshore sales to avoid tax. Is that covered?
How could the state of California prevent a man from going down to Mexico and buying a yacht? Tax him when he comes back in.
Yes.
Or tax the income when he comes
back. Offshore sales. Tax.
Yeah. It's an offshore problem. It's a big issue.
Well, not offshore. Another can.
But some worries like that.
Okay.
Okay.
We've got that.
All right.
This is number 10. It's the addition to number 10. After California has no oil extraction tax, then elimination of offshore sales to avoid taxes.
Okay. I believe Shane has addressed questions and concerns as they have come up, and also addressed this morning's concerns by his report from the platform committee meeting. I'm going to ask at this time whether or not there are any unresolved concerns on this plank at this meeting, given that Shane has said that the platform committee will be open to additional suggestions and a bring back of this plan for further revision in later meetings. So are there any unresolved concerns about this plan at this time?
Point of process, I think this is.
Yeah.
Is it a possibility to, if you're planning already on bringing this back?
No, I'm not planning.
Oh, you're not? No. Okay, cancel that.
I thought you were going to take the people who were in line before lunch.
I'm sorry, Greg. This is my bad eyesight. I thought this was
episode.
I apologize.
Yeah, I was back there. And this is actually kind of minor, but I think it technically needs to get done. So in the background and purpose, the first section, the first page, in the second paragraph, I think it's the seventh line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It starts with people who earn less than $18,000. So it says people who earn less than $18,000 are required by state and local taxes to pay 11%, but that's not actually true because there are, you know, different ways that you can spend your $18,000. So I think it's something like that's like on average they end up paying 11%. So maybe people who earn less than $18,000 end up paying on average state and local taxes of 11% or something, yeah, because technically they're not required to pay that, but they end up on average paying that.
Okay, I'll add that. Yes?
I wasn't here in the morning for that, but I do have an unresolved
concern. Yeah, come to the microphone.
Okay. Or actually, maybe a clarifying question, and my name is Kendra Gonzalez Ventura. I heard quick mention of completely striking number 4, and I want to clarify if that is correct.
That's correct.
I have an outstanding concern about that being taken out. But I will stand aside from the concern, but we'll talk about that later.
Do you want to state the reason for your concern?
Yeah, because in thinking about this tax credit under research and development, I mean, I am supportive of assistance in development of things like solar and algae fuels and things like that that need to be developed further. So I think incentive to do that is important.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. My understanding is that we have completed the staff from the garden.
Someone else is standing there. Could you read the staff?
I just have a question.
Dana Silvernail, Humboldt Greens. I just have a question about something that you read, one of the changes that you just read. You said it was number 6. You said the excise tax would be paid.
A graduated
excise tax paid to registered.
On fees paid to registered lobbyists.
Right. My question is, who pays? The person that pays, the entity that pays the lobbyists or the lobbyists? Is it a tax on their receipts, or is it a tax that happens when that's paid by the person that pays them or the group that pays
them? It'll
be
both.
So it'd be at both ends? Mm-hmm. Is that how that's what an excise tax means?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. So I apologize to Greg and anyone else. I didn't say I'm going to go back and ask on this draft as corrected, amended, and explained.
are there at this time any outstanding concerns by the people who are in either this morning's staff or this afternoon's staff? Seeing and hearing none, then we have consensus on this matter. Thank you. Now, as a scheduling matter, we are 15 minutes ahead of schedule. However, there was items that were left off the agenda. So what will happen is the last of the breakout sessions will be moved up in time by 15 minutes and will have their full 70 minutes of schedule. We will come back at 2:55, and at that time there will be announcements about appointments out of committees, working groups, and regional caucuses, and possibly brief reports back from committees and working groups, which is what is normally at that point in the agenda, and then that allows for the closing ceremony on time at 3:10. Is there any objection to that wrinkling of the agenda? Okay, so we now have breakout sessions. I assume CCWG will go back to where they were meeting earlier today. The other groups listed in the agenda are GROW and Finance, and I understand Clearinghouse is not meeting. Is that correct? My understanding IT was not going to be meeting. Is that correct? Okay, so with the co-chairs for the Finance Committee and GROW come up and let people know where those two groups are going to be meeting.